You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. We are at the middle of the week. You kind of start to take a break, take a deep breath, it's hump day, chillax. You know, maybe just take it off a little bit at work today. It's all good. There was a lot that happened yesterday in the NFL. And there's a lot that we can talk about, especially because today is the deadline, I believe at 4 p.m. Eastern time, for teams to reach an agreement with their respective players. And or at least their franchise players. Otherwise, they will have no other choice than to sign their franchise tender or whatever they're under. So far, the Broncos signed Justin Simmons to his tender. Which, hey, so by the way, there's a tweet that I made. I was watching the Falcons and Broncos preseason game. Can't remember if this was last year or 2 years ago. I want to say it was 2 years ago. I was watching it live. And it might have been 3 years ago. I forget. I definitely made a tweet. I will find it today. About Justin Simmons, in which I was criticized. I said, Justin Simmons is going to be a star player in this league. During a preseason game. It was during a preseason game. No, I sent it. So I will be finding that tweet today, bringing that up to the forefront, because he did sign his tender yesterday. The Broncos hope over the next season to try and sign him to a big long-term deal. Titans running back Derrick Henry, we discussed him a little bit yesterday, and he's also signing his franchise tender as well. He's going to make $10.7 million this year, which isn't that much for a running back of his caliber, considering that Le'Veon Bell with the Jets ran for right around 500 yards and didn't really play in all that many games, to be honest. In the games that he did play in, he provided a minimal impact. He's making 15 this year. So it's a good price for the Titans. They knew it. You don't want to overpay this running back, no matter how good they are. And I think 10.7 is right there in Derrick Henry's wheelhouse. So good deal there as well by the Titans to keep him for one more year with the franchise. All right, so let's get into a couple of these. There were a couple major contract extension type deals yesterday. And the first one is one we talked about on the show. I told you I did not expect to see it happen. In fact, it was looking very bleak last week when this player tweeted out four teams, that he would like to be traded to. Chris Jones signed a 4-year, $85 million extension, I do believe. Please correct me if I'm wrong on those numbers. I don't have them in front of me. Like I think I've told you all before on the show, I drive when I'm recording this to work because I've got a long commute. So it's the easiest way to get this out and talk about things. But Chris Jones did sign a major extension yesterday with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm thinking it's right there at $20 million a year. And they've backloaded it. So he is going to make about the same as what he would have put on the cap this year if he had not made that deal. And then it's the price goes up the next 3 years per year. Now, this is really interesting because what the Chiefs have done is they have locked up $70 million per year for the next 4 years. Think about that for a second. That's a big deal. All right, because $70 million, especially if the salary cap drops next year, is going to be right around 50% of that salary cap. If it drops like they're anticipating it, I don't know if it's going to drop the full like $40 million or whatever, but that's what they're talking about, is a $40 million drop in salary cap due to lost revenue from the coronavirus. But this is, here's the question here is, what are you going to do with the other 51 spots on the roster? They're going to be navigating here very, very, very difficultly, you know, because there's a lot of guys on this team right now that are under contract through 2022 and 2023. Top guys. They're not getting paid as top guys, but impact guys on this team, guys that really have played well the last 2 years. They're locked up under contract. All right, so the issues that you're going to start running into is your depth. If somebody gets hurt, it's not going to be good, especially if your quarterback goes down. You know, Mahomes missed a couple games last year. Remember that. Hopefully that's all that he misses. You know, he's a great quarterback. We don't want to see him hurt. But remember that. He did miss a couple games last year. That's a lot of money to be sitting hurt somewhere. Facts. All right, so if you lose him and, you know, you've got, let's say both him and Chris Jones goes down, you're working with a salary cap that's depleted $70 million on 50 other players. That's tough. So this is a really interesting move by the Chiefs. I'm not understanding how they're going to make it work. That's okay. I'm sure I will figure it out. I'm sure the rest of us will figure it out. But that is a lot of money to spend on two players. And granted, I get it. It's your two best players, but you've got so many other guys. You know, right now, $70 million leaves you with, you know, about $130 to play with. Next year, that could be somewhere between $70 and $90. And that's not counting, you know, $14 million that you're paying out to this guy, another defensive lineman, $10 million that you're paying out to your left tackle, so on and so forth. There's a lot there. There's a lot of money there. And I'm honestly not sure how they got these contracts in, but that's neither here nor there. The other big contract yesterday, the Cleveland Browns have re-signed somebody. Isn't that a miracle? Cleveland Browns very rarely re-sign anybody. And the one guy that they were able to re-sign was Joe Thomas. But they've got Myles Garrett taking a 5-year, $125 million contract. The defensive end, yes. The wrecking ball of a defensive end, Myles Garrett, 5 years, $125 million, $25 a year. That will make him the highest paid edge player in the league, by the way. And I'm sure Jadeveon Clowney wishes he could make that kind of money, but he's not the type of player that Myles Garrett is. That's all there is to that. Garrett, this is a good deal for the Browns because You want to keep your star guys. If you're going to take somebody first overall, you want to keep them around for a while. This is one of those for them. He's been a very, very solid impact player. Outside of the fight with Mason Rudolph, he's been a non-issue, you know, on off the field. Garrett is a humanitarian, does a lot of charity work within the community, so he's a good figure to keep around Cleveland and has been so far in his career. This is a really awesome move by the Browns to lock him up and keep him under contract through 2026, which is what this contract is doing. Excellent deal. Well done, Cleveland Browns. Needed to happen. Now let's see you all go out on the field and actually play, because the Browns are in a tough conference. Granted, the Bengals aren't exactly looked at as a threat. They're going to be. Joe Burrow is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm telling you that right now. This guy you want to talk about a guy who is, we've never seen come out of college before. No, he doesn't have this crazy arm strength. He can't throw the ball 60, 70, 80 yards like Josh Allen can. But he's smart. He sees almost everything. He's extremely accurate. And he will pick you apart. And the Bengals are going to love him. He's going to work out great for them. All right, so Joe Burrow is going to be in that conference for the next 15 years. I wish you all best of luck. You got the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've got one of the best defenses in the NFL right now. Ben Roethlisberger comes back this year. If he's still got it, you know, because he's pretty up there in age right now. If he's still got it, then that's going to be difficult as well to deal with. And then, of course, the Baltimore Ravens. You've got Lamar Jackson with this high-powered offense. So it's a very difficult conference, division, right? So the Browns, it's going to be an uphill battle for them. But they're just going to have to find a way to beat Pittsburgh once a year, beat Baltimore once a year, beat Cincy once a year, twice this year, if they really want to be relevant and pull all this together. And I said it when Baker Mayfield was drafted. I said, this is the guy that's going to do it in Cleveland. He admitted over the last season, he had kind of relaxed a lot and wasn't working as hard. And I mean, it was clear. And plus, the coaching staff obviously was an issue there. They couldn't keep anything together. Cleveland was a mess this year. I guess is the point that we're all trying to make. And that being said, it's going to be different. Kevin Stefanski, new coach, worked well under Mike Zimmer, really built something in Minnesota with a similar type quarterback. I think Baker Mayfield's more of a playmaker than Kirk Cousins is. The Vikings quarterback, that is, I think he's better at creating. Especially when things break down, Kirk is very much a guy who needs to stay on schedule and in rhythm. Baker is a little bit more flexible. When I say a little bit, I mean a lot more flexible. He can extend plays and he'll create things and kind of work some magic and stuff. And I think that's going to come to the forefront this year with the Browns. Plus, with that receiver core, he's finally got a really good tight end that's going to be reliable for him in Austin Hooper. You got an upcoming vertical guy in Harrison Bryant who could be really good. You know, there's a lot of good stuff going on with that team right now, and they're going to be good this year. When we come back, we're going to get into the NBA, touch on that article that I wrote yesterday regarding the NBA, the ESPN, Nike, and the hypocrisy surrounding it all. Next on the John Vogel Show.
Welcome back to the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. Let's get into this with the NBA. I wrote an article yesterday entitled The Hypocrisy of the NBA and ESPN. We're going to take this a little bit differently with the approach I took with the article. We're going to start with ESPN. ESPN has been woke. Non-stop. Woke zombies. All right, yeah, see? We're gonna start this. There are woke people. Woke is too good a term to have given them because it makes you sound like you understand, your eyes are open, whatever. We're gonna start calling them woke zombies. The zombies are, you know, awakened, but not in a good way. And they affect people all the time. All right, so the woke zombies have infiltrated and are pretty much running ESPN. And you've seen this, you know, with SportsCenter being constantly woke. The ESPYs this year hit all-time lows. Nobody wanted to watch the ESPYs because they knew they were going to just get hammered with political wokeness type
content, and nobody wants to see that. Well, not nobody, but very few people want to sit through that. They want to get away from that, if anything. And ESPN has turned away from that platform of, let's talk about sports. I mean, there haven't been any sports. Instead, they have to be on top of all the social justice issues and making sure that everybody is aware of them. But ESPN had a hit piece written on them by the New York Times. In this piece, it talked about the racism that exists within ESPN alone, in the Big Giant. Granted, there was a lot of stuff in this article that they talked about where no one really was, it was more of just people kind of complaining about things that they were trying to make into a racist argument. But some of it is, some of it did appear to be racist and have racist motives. And I think that needs to be recognized. Now, a lot of the stuff was just kind of, okay, whatever. There was a conference call, supposedly, where Maria Taylor was talking about her treatment there at ESPN and talking about how it could get better and how people could, you know, telling about what people did to her. And there was a certain announcer that didn't realize his mic wasn't muted, and complained to somebody, probably his wife or whatever, sitting there, that it's just a griping session for all the black employees. And of course, you know, in the article, Maria Taylor talks about how that was such a slap in the face, but it woke her up to what was going on within the company, not just within the company, but around the world. I suppose that is racist. But some of this other stuff where supposedly producers harassed black individuals, no real examples are given, so on and so forth. Things like that, where all these people speaking anonymously out of fear of retaliation or something like that. There was a lot in this article that just kind of seemed like they were trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. And regardless, it's been well known that the company is very hypocritical. They go on to the air and they spout all this Good Samaritan, let's do this kind of thing, kind of stuff, and nothing is really ever done. Behind closed doors, they can't keep black talent. They're leaving to go to other networks. And there was some bad black talent on there that stuck around as well. Jemele Hill is a great example. She is one of the worst analysts or anchors I've ever seen. I remember when they had the Six on SportsCenter, the Six. Four years ago. I could not watch that show. The anchor was terrible. The anchors, they were both terrible. It was Smith. I think it was Jemele Hill and Michael Smith, and they're married. It was awful. They were not a married couple I would go hang out at their house with, because it was so negative all the time. I would not do that. It was negative. It was all this stuff. It didn't really ever stick to sports. I felt like I was watching a news type station. You know, it's not what I turned on ESPN to watch. I couldn't stand it. And I would turn off ESPN and go do something else when that came on. And I know I wasn't alone in that. Their ratings were terrible. There's a reason why that show was canceled. Jemele Hill isn't with ESPN anymore. Kind of still is, but not directly with ESPN anymore. Look at Emmanuel Acko. Great analyst. Really kind of came up on that network. He leaves, goes to Fox Sports. they managed to keep Marcus Spears around for a good while, so that's good. But if you look through the history, they struggle to retain black talent. There is no doubt about that. And there was a producer in there that told black talent, a lot of black talent, to leave the company in order to advance their careers. All right, so basically the biggest woke center network, where we're talking about this and we're being woke and driving people to be zombies, are extremely hypocritical because they can't take care of the issues themselves. This is where the NBA comes in, because the NBA is in a position right now where they are extremely hypocritical, and they're turning a blind eye to one injustice while talking about another. Except the real injustice is the real problems nobody wants to talk about. Great, here, great example. What is going on at Wayfair right now? Certainly looks like kids are being shipped and sold online in disguise. Nobody's saying anything. That's going on here in America. How many NBA players do you think are partaking in that? I would guess that there's several. That's why no one will say anything. There are several. And not just in the NBA, but the NFL too. I'll bet you in the NHL. MLB, MLS, all of it. I'll guarantee you. Now, the thing that needs to be noted about the NBA, they had a lot of phrases that they're allowing to put people on, 29 different phrases they're allowing players to put on the back of their jerseys and wear the first few nights that they restart in Orlando. Now, I think the really interesting thing here is there were a lot of NBA players that were very upset about the list when it came out, because it didn't include a lot of the phrases that they wanted to use. And it was a bad list. And, you know, Adam Silver defended it. Said, oh, no, we met with the executive committee of the Players Association. Well, cool. Well, why didn't you talk to any of the actual players? You know, so it's like when you turn your blind eye to these injustices going on in China, who is funding you heavily. You're making a lot of money off of them. They're also providing you a lot of your equipment that you wear every game. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't. It's not good. If you turn a blind eye to slave labor, forced labor in a concentration camp, making the equipment that you're wearing every game. And not just that, the equipment that we wear every day. We wear this stuff. And it's not just here in America, it's across the world. You could put Nike. Nike provides all this stuff. They're based out of China. You could put Nike in a really tough spot. And it would be a ladder effect, basically. It'd be like a tidal wave. You would start with ESPN. You would force ESPN to denounce China and basically threaten the NBA with your TV contract or whatever. And say, we're not going to cover games of the NBA as long as slave labor is being worked to prepare for these games. And you're going to force the NBA to switch their supplier to where Nike would not be under contract anymore. It'd be another company, preferably not based out of China, using Christians and Muslim Uyghurs to make the equipment for free. That's the latter effect you could have. You want to make a difference in the world? Force Nike to get out of China. That's about all the time we have for today on the John Vogel Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking around through everything. The numbers are continuing to go up, so really, I really appreciate you all and spreading the word around about this and everything going down. It's going to be a fun next couple weeks. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's going to be fun the next couple weeks. So get ready, put your popcorn in, sit down, get your set up, everything, and enjoy the ride. Appreciate you all again. Thank you so much. God love you all. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be back tomorrow.